Welcome to the TKO Show. Thanks so much for joining me at any time. If you want to participate in the conversation, 1-800-263-2559. You can always text 10-800 or 10-1290. You can email me, Kara, K-A-R-A, dot R-O, at bellmedia.ca. We have a bunch of things to get to today. We're going to talk about gender inequality, the discrimination people are experiencing, men and women at their employers. Recently, CNN produced a story talking about two women who alleged the company, Nike, passed them over for promotions because of their gender, didn't take action on complaints to HR, and paid them less than their male colleagues for the same work. The lawsuit says that for the women, the company of hierarchy is an unclimbable pyramid. This half hour, I want to hear your stories as well. Have you been doing the same job and experiencing this inequity as well? Let me know kind of what industry you're in at 10-800-1090. You know, and just let me know. And we're going to be joined by a guest to talk to us a little bit about that. We're also going to, you know, go back. We'll check in with our music guru. We usually have him Fridays at 1 o'clock, but Eric Alper will join us to talk about Aretha Franklin, as we heard, passing away today. Sad news, the Queen of Soul. So we'll discuss that as well as a few other things. But first, let's address this. When we talk about jobs that have kind of the biggest gender wage gaps, we'll go through those as well. Have you experienced this? Was there anything that was done about it? Joining me to talk about this, Jojo Dries, workplace speaker and author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy, specializes in helping people remove themselves from toxic situations in all areas of life, speaking to the abuse of power, sexuality, and truth at work, home, and in schools. Jojo, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on today, Kara. I'm really glad to be here today.
What an interesting topic, and I think this is kind of ongoing. Hopefully, slowly we're chipping away at it and tackling it, but was this something that you experienced throughout your life and finally got to the point of, like, I've had enough, I want to specialize in this, what are some things I can do about it?
Yes, absolutely. I have experienced this in my life, you know, throughout the years that I was working with the family business that I was in. And so for me, the story is very personal. I see the wage gap. I see where women bring things to the table and it's, you know, not respected. It's not listened to. And so throughout my life, I watched that happen in my own personal life as well as with friends and peers. And so what I did is I wrote my story down and I said, you know, this is obviously a topic that is needs to be talked about. It's a taboo topic. Not a lot of people like to broach it because we've been silenced over the years about these things. And so I wanted to bring a voice to the voiceless, which is why I wrote the book and why I'm on a speaking tour now saying, you know, let's talk about these things. Let's discuss them. How can we change them? And how can we be the voice that helps change these the way that it has always been?
You know, and I'm sure for those listening, one of the most frustrating things that people will say to them, or let's say they're complaining about either their employer or a past employer, and they say, well, why didn't you just leave? That has to be the most infuriating statement, right? Because you're sitting there, you got a job you've worked for, and you've put in all your time and effort, and you may get the exact same treatment somewhere else that you go. What are some of the other things that women can do if they find themselves in this type of work environment?
Absolutely. And I do. I think that's one of the most frustrating things that I heard throughout my life. And I certainly know that many of my peers have heard that same statement. Why didn't you just leave? Why didn't you go seek help? You know, whether that's in a toxic situation at work or in a toxic situation in a relationship. And I think the better question there, you know, to ask people is, and to tell people, and that's where my sort of speeches come in, is find that inspiration within yourself, right? Find the things that are within you that you know you're bigger than this. Your destiny is more than this. So some of the things that women can do to sort of change the conversation, to use their voice and change their toxic situation is, first of all, like I say, you know, remove yourself from the denial. So I think a lot of times we live in this denial of this is not as bad as it may seem. You know, I'm okay. At least it's a steady job. At least it's a relationship. At least I have a bed to sleep on, whatever it may be. Again, personal or work. Remove yourself from the denial and then seek answers right within yourself. Go, you know, for me, I read a lot of books. I listened to a lot of the female protagonists that were talking, you know, and that were saying something, that were making a change, they were making a difference. I think what's going to define this generation is those voices out there like myself who are writing books and speaking and bringing a voice to these topics. So go find your answers and then do something about it. You know, yeah. Do something, whether it's, go ahead.
I just wanted before you move on to the next one, I wanted to address that a little bit because yes. I think that's really important. But how do we achieve that without the constant, I don't know, it's one of those where when women try to speak up for themselves or they, you know, we get called, you know, abrasive.
Yeah.
We, you know,
yeah.
It's something that if a man did that, that's a man. But once we do it, yeah. That person is the B word or they're being abrasive yeah. or they're tough to deal with just because they're trying to bring forth some form of issue.
Yeah.
How do you do that in a way that people will be receptive and not automatically defensive saying, oh, well, she's just this type
yeah.
of person?
So first of all, the thick skin, you know, it has to grow because at some point, you know, for me, I heard that my whole life, right? I mean, I was literally physically kicked under tables at meetings when I would speak up and I would say something. So physically and then verbally, it was like basically shut up and be quiet. You have nothing to bring to the table, literally. And so I think at some point we have to say enough is enough and be able to say that and receive those nasty words, those words that say, you know, you're not enough or it's not good enough what you're presenting or you're being too abrasive, and just continue the conversation. So, you know, so for me, it was all about, all right, at age 29, after having lived under that, you know, work abuse and personal abuse, you know, I finally said to myself, enough is enough. It was the last time. So for me, it was a physical thing. It was the last time they laid hands on me. And I said, I will never be physically abused this way again. And so for in a meeting, say you're in a work meeting and you're presenting your idea at the table, or in a peer-to-peer conversation, if you're talking about a project and you're presenting, you know, your opinion on it, and it comes out, well, you're abrasive, there has to be one last time that is said to you that all of a sudden is your rock bottom. And you say, that's fine that you feel that way, but I'm still going to present my opinion. And I think the more that we push, so for me, I watched all these women that kept pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope, and eventually they won. Eventually they were victorious.
Okay. Interesting. So you want us to kind of remove the denial. You want us to speak up. What would be another suggestion?
I think once you take the action and do speak up, you start, you're going to fall on your face and you're going to, have some wins. So there's going to be some wins and some failures. And I think you have to sort of go in expecting that, because if you expect just to win every time, you haven't done this before, right? You haven't, said your piece, or you haven't said it in the way that you need to say it. So for me, I hit a lot of walls. And I jumped without a net. And I think a lot of us need to believe in ourselves enough to say, I'm willing to jump without a net, because for me, that's better than the situation I'm in. And so the taking action is a big one. And then once you do have those wins, you will see that the healing begins. So I use the word healing. Other people will use victories or whatnot. And you'll see those things take place and shape in your life. And once that happens, that you will receive then more massive success. Because the more you allow yourself to experience those wins, live in that healing or the successes and victories that you have, then you will then experience massive success. And then from there, you have to repeat. So for me, my repeat is going out and talking about this, doing the speeches, doing the speaking tour, writing the book. So once I received, you know, the success I wanted to in my own life and was able to emerge out of those toxic situations, my repeat is going out and helping others do the same and learning along the way, because you never want to stay in a plateau in that type of a situation.
Now, it's interesting because I know oftentimes when we talk about something like gender wage gaps, and it feels like we're saying men versus women. And that's not essentially what we're saying, because I feel like there's a lot of men that have, like when I've looked at my past and there's pay, you know, discrepancies, the men have actually stepped up as well and said, this is unfair. This isn't, you know, it hasn't always been where
yeah.
it's not always men versus women. Can you,
yeah.
you know, is there a way to make a workplace, let's say, you know, your workplace is a little bit like this. Is there a way to create a positive, healthy work environment where, let's say there is an inequity, do you notice, like, do you address both men and women and say the men can also step up and, you know, make these suggestions? Yeah. Or can they do something that's a little bit more accommodating to listen to what, you know, kind of project you're telling about in the meeting and how to have a better communication to show more respect for that there is this issue?
Yes, I totally 100% agree with you that, you know, so there's a hashtag that sort of went around, and it was basically not all men. And what they were trying to say is, you know, not all men behave this way. Not all men, you know, are, you know, predators. Not all men don't want to hear what the women have to say on the team. But I think the better way of putting that, instead of men being like, not all men, and this is what I speak about in the workplace, is be the voice. So be that person saying, hey, let's listen to, so rather than defend yourself, so there was a survey that came out that said 17% of men are being more cautious at work. And I looked at that and said, wait, it's not that they need to be more cautious at work, because that connotates that women are sensitive. It's a behavior change that needs to shift. So instead of being the guy that says, not all men, or I'm not like that, or the guys I know aren't like that, just be the voice for the woman. So, you know, prove to us, be that person of action that says, hey, let's listen to what they have to say. Let's, you know, let's give them the higher wage. You know, step up to the plate in those ways. So rather than defending the gender, let's step up in actionable ways that actually benefit others. And it's not that I'm saying, you know, prove yourself. In no way am I saying prove yourself. It's not that you have to prove yourself. No, instead, let's take those actionable items that actually show we're in each other's corners versus, you know, behaving the same way that it's been for so long. And you know, this whole, oh, the locker room talk, as it was, you know, a year or two ago, that whole news cycle. And, you know, all these things that are in defense of men, you know, be that guy that says, no, this is not okay talk. And don't turn your face, you know, don't turn your ear when you hear those things, you know, step up to the plate in those ways.
You know, it's interesting, because if that article would have been written and it said 70% of men are being more mindful instead of cautious, it would have given men more credit for saying, hey, maybe there is a problem. Maybe I have to recognize how I am behaving, how others are behaving. In this way, they're acting like men don't have that awareness, and that they're just saying, I better keep my mouth shut, or I better be careful. Whereas I feel like men are actually, it's a change in mindfulness, not being cautious.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. I think that's a beautiful way of saying that. In fact, I'm going to take that phrase and use it. I love it. It's a practice of being mindful of your action versus being cautious of how you're acting. It should be the normal. It should be commonplace behavior for there to be equality, whether it's, you know, in the pay, whether it's in the behavior, whether it's in what we have to bring to the table, whether, you know, all of these things should be normal. But somehow in our culture, which is why I called the book, you know, The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy, somehow in our culture, we've become this patriarchal society. And I think what it needs to happen is it needs to shift. So again, this generation will be defined by how we shift the patriarchal viewpoint, which is why I have such a passion and why I've written the book and why I'm doing this speaking, because I want to be one of these voices that says, this behavior is no longer okay. It never was okay. And this is how we shift our behavior to be the voice that helps others.
Now, do you think this circumstance where they're talking about this issue at Nike, where the two women are saying that they're devalued and demeaned because they're not getting equal pay, and there's a lot of other circumstances of how they're being treated, do you think these are important, that they're brought to the table? They're all over CNN. You know, there's a widespread awareness of this.
I do. I think the voices that are at the forefront, I think it took a lot of boldness and probably a lot of time to develop this, you know, this story and the whole, you know, their voice saying this is wrong and we're not going to accept this behavior anyway. And it's systematic in how this company is treating women. And I think the voices that are at the forefront, I think they are important. You know, you see women all across the country. Now, mind you, you know, the Me Too movement was started by, you know, over several years ago. So, yes, you know, Hollywood tweeted that out and it became this viral thing that, you know, is Me Too and Time's Up, and all these movements are very important for women across the country. But these behaviors have been the case for so long. And I think recognizing those female voices that are at the forefront and have sacrificed reputation and being called the B word and, you know, being called all kinds of things is very important. It's a necessary voice in this country right now.
Well, it's been amazing talking to you, and I think it's great. I know you talk about forging your own path to freedom using 7 powerful steps. You can find JoJo online as well. We've been talking to JoJo Dries, workplace speaker and author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. You can find her online, JoJo Dries, DRIES.com, and that book, once again, The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. Thank you, JoJo, for your time today. When we come back, we'll have some time. Either take your calls or your texts. Have you been in that circumstance where you were doing the same job, not getting equal pay? Have you ever had a circumstance where someone stepped up for you? And how many times have you been through something like this? And in what industry? We'll go through some of these industries. I'll tell you some of my examples, too, when we get back right here on the TKO Show.
I love The Social because we're all very particular.
We have different viewpoints.